We're going to be looking at the study. It's entitled The Eden Diet and Cancer Prevention. Cancer Prevention. This is a study that I just know you're going to find. We're going to have you eating more nuts than you probably even thought of eating before we're done with this study. The text is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, where the Word of God says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, isn't that a fascinating idea that we could be eating and drinking in such a way to bring God's glory, which means that we can eat and drink in such a way as to dishonor God? And remember, the dynamic is He's the one that created us. He's the one that gave us life. He's the one that put into place the principles of life. And part of the principles of life are the principles that deal with good nutrition. And God provided He provided all the means that we need for a good, healthy, and appetizing diet. And so we talk a little bit about nutrition tonight. Those are important factors. It can be healthy, but if it's not appetizing, it is not good nutrition. Would you agree with that? So it needs to be appetizing as well as healthy. And so let's take a look at this study done by the American Cancer Society. And we're going to be looking at, to begin with, an Eden diet includes fruit consumption. And we're looking at how it relates to lung cancer. And you will see on the far right side, as we would expect with cigarette smoking, we find that compared to those who never smoked, you can just barely see that bar there as we look at the mortality rate. And then you see those who have smoked but have quit. And then on the far side, you see those who are currently smoking, and you see when it relates to lung cancer, there is a direct correlation. What is it? Some 80,000 people a year are dying from lung cancer, if I remember the statistic right, and smoking is the major contributor to lung cancer. And then on the other side, in contrast, look at fruit consumption. On the other side, the more that you smoke, the more problems you have with lung cancer, but look at it, the more fruit you eat, the less the mortality rate. And notice the left bar represents, it's the control group. It's those who are getting less than 3 servings a week. Is that possible in the United States? I mean, is this a starvation diet we're talking about? 3 servings? I get at least 3, sometimes 4 servings a day. I just love fruit. I hope you love fruit. And then you look at those who are having just 1 serving. How difficult is that to do? To get an apple or banana, orange or whatever. Is that tough to do? Notice how dramatic the risk of dying from lung cancer, how it reduces the risk by 70%. And then those who are having at least 2 servings a day, an additional benefit. Oh, fruit is so good for us. And it's a part of the Eden diet, as we already noted. And then we look at fruit consumption as it relates to stomach cancer. My grandmother died from stomach cancer. And so I've got this cancer thing in my genetic line on my mother's side. Both sides of my family. My dad's and mother's. And again, you're seeing those who are getting less than 3 servings. That's the big, large green bar right there. And then those who are getting 3 to 7 servings, notice 16% in comparison. And then 1% for those who are getting over 7 servings a week. And, you know, that's not tough to do. Not tough to do at all. And then we look at protection against pancreatic cancer. In fact, in the state of Washington, you know, as you do in the state of Oregon, the state of Washington has, what do they call this, a law where they allow somebody, we put them to sleep is what we're doing, actually. What do you call that law? Physician-assisted suicide. There it is. And we had the first one in the state of Washington, and somebody that had pancreatic cancer, which is usually a very aggressive cancer, isn't it? There's not, if I understand right, not a high survival rate. But look at, as we look at raisins, dates, and dried fruits, look at those who are getting a low intake of those items compared to those who have a high intake, 19%. I mean, this is dramatic stuff when you look at it. Do you like dried fruit? Do you? Raisins and dates, dried fruits. Do you like dried fruits? You know, most mornings I have cereal. Usually it's cooked oatmeal. It's the old-fashioned oatmeal, which has the fiber in it. Now, you have the quick, what do they call it? Quick oats. You can cook it up in a minute. What they've done is they've removed the fiber, and that's not really good. So, you know, take 3 minutes. What's 3 minutes compared to 1 minute? It's nothing. And then I'm cooking my oatmeal, and then just, I don't put the raisins in right away. I just love raisins and oatmeal. And so just before it's done cooking, I throw my raisins into it. And then I put my, soy milk on my cereal. Or maybe shredded wheat. At the top of the dry cereal list, as far as nutrition is concerned, shredded wheat is at the top of the list, nutritionally. And so I do that for some variation. And I love to put fruit and bananas on my shredded wheat. And I don't know what you do. Maybe you like strawberries or something, whatever the dried fruit might be. So there's a real benefit. And then on the far right side, let's go to that one where we're talking about beans, lentils, and peas. We call these legumes. And by the way, peanuts are a legume. Did you know that? And notice again, the low intake compared to a high intake. Notice 0.03% as far as the risk of dying from pancreatic cancers by eating plenty of legumes. If you love Mexican, you're on the right track. If you like beans, lentils, and peas. And I came to love peas because of my uncle Rob, who when I was a kid said, "You're not getting up to the table until you eat all of those peas." And I found out, wow, you know, these aren't bad. The second time was not so bad. I could handle it. And then protein meat substitutes, meat analogs is what we call them. And again, a low consumption is the high bar, and a high consumption, 0.15%. I know some people like to joke around about those meat substitutes. But notice there is a very significant benefit from using the protein meat substitutes. Now, what are we talking about? Well, go to most grocery stores and you're going to find, mostly in the frozen section, you're going to find the Morningstar products. And among them, and I use many of these products myself, I love sausage links. They're not made out of meat. They're soy-based often, and sometimes there is wheat gluten that's included. But, you know, they have just the right kind of spice in them, and I love sausage patties. I often have them in the morning as well. And then you have veggie dogs. Did you know there was such a thing as veggie dogs? And then grillers up there. You know, if you like a hamburger, try a griller. Okay? And now you kind of work through some of these things to experiment, and you'll find the ones that work for you, the ones that you like. But there's a number of things. Corn dogs, you know. Again, it's all veggie. And it's interesting what we're doing in this area. And then we go on to colon cancer as it relates to legumes, the beans, peas, and lentils. And again, we see on one hand, those are getting less than one serving compared to those who are getting 1 to 2 servings a week. Notice it's a 25% drop. And then those who are getting over 2 servings a week drops down to 58%. Now, those are significant statistics. And again, if somebody could find a way to manufacture that into a pill, you know, as I've said before, in the pharmaceutical industry, they would make a killing. We're so orientated, you know, give me a pill. Isn't there a pill? When we really learn the principles, and it's all about prevention. Remember that word prevention. We keep coming back to it. Let's prevent some of these things. Let's just don't react. Let's be proactive. Let's anticipate some of these things, and let's lower our risk. And it's not that tough to do when we understand the principles. Just a good diet. And then they look at the risk of colon cancer. On one hand, they use for comparison. They were looking at the use of flesh food and meat. And you see those, the bar there of those who never did. I guess those would be the vegetarians, wouldn't they? 1%. Or 1 is what it represents, the comparison group. And then those who had less, isn't that right? Less than 1 serving a week Notice the risk increases by 42%, and then those who have 1 to 2 servings of meat or chicken or fish, notice how the risk doubles. And then in comparison to that, notice on the other side, as we're looking at vegetable and fruit, fiber. And fiber is one of, you know, the significant things that we need. Listen, you don't need to go down and buy a bottle of fiber, you know? You know, they're selling fiber. Get it in its natural state. That's all one has to do. And again, as you look at it, in comparison, those who are getting less than 1 serving of vegetable and fruits, what do those people eat? I don't have an answer to that question. And then notice in comparison, those who are eating 1 to 2 servings a week. Again, this is not tough stuff to do. We've got a 35% reduction and then an even added reduction as we get over 2 servings a week. And then we look at the risk of the cancer of the prostate. Guys, are you listening? Are you looking? As we look at it, starting with the legumes at the top, and you can just walk it right on down. Those are getting less than 1 serving a month. I can't believe they found enough people that, you know, they could make a study out of this, that we're getting less than 1. We're talking about the guys now, so, you know, we guys. And then those who are getting 1 to 3 or 8 or 2. I can't read that number. Well, then that discounts that's weak. That's right. 1 to 8 is 79%. And then those who are getting over 3 servings a week, it cuts it down to 59%, the risk, the mortality risk. And you see the dried fruit. I could go walk you through each one of those, but look again at the benefit of eating 5 or more servings of dried fruit a week as it relates to prostate cancer. And then you look at fish. They use this as a comparative study. Notice those who never ate fish compared to those who had 2 or less servings a month compared to those who had 1 or more servings. Actually, the risk goes up for prostate cancer. And I'm sorry. I mean, if anybody loves a fish and you love to eat what you catch, but it was in the study. And then tomatoes. Tomatoes. Do you love tomatoes? Do you grow tomatoes around here? Now, tomatoes, look at it. It just steps out. Those who are eating 1 to 4 servings of tomatoes a week compared to those who are eating 5 or more servings a week. Guys, notice how the risk of prostate cancer is, again, tremendously reduced. Just add all of those things up. And you know what? If you add into it our study on water, you know, water show, we cut the risk, of risk of dying from heart disease. You add water to the nutrition, pretty soon it becomes questionable whether you're going to die from anything, because 50% here and 50% there and 35% here, and, you know, it all adds up. And then the nuts. Yes, the nuts. I just love nuts. And we're looking at the white bar represents those who are getting less than 1 serving a week, and that is a medium-sized handful of nuts. That's what we're talking about. The yellow bar represents those who are getting 1 to 4 servings, and the gold bar, those who are getting 5 or more servings. And they adjusted for the vegetarian and the non-vegetarian. Notice the vegetarian had an advantage here as far as the statistics are concerned. And then they adjusted it for exercise, whether one exercise, low exercise compared to high exercise. And notice, this is the risk from dying from coronary heart disease events. That's what it's talking about. Notice the impact of nuts in this study. And again, we continue on with our nut study. Again, you know, the bars represent the number of servings. And let's look at the far end of it. Those are getting 5 or more servings a week. That's going to be the purple bar. And whether you're a man or a woman, it reduces the risk of heart disease events. And whether one is less than 80 years of age or 80 or over years of age, notice there is a direct benefit to heart disease. Again, the tendency is, as we get older, we just think, you know, there's really not a whole lot we can do now. But look at it. There's a whole lot that we can do. And this is the last slide. This relates to nut intake as it relates to the first column, second column, non-fatal coronary heart disease. And then the far side is fatal coronary heart disease. And notice those who are getting less than one serving of nuts a week are the comparative group. The second group are those who are getting 1 to 4 servings a week. Notice how the non-fatal coronary heart disease events are reduced to 78% and 76% on the far end as it relates to fatal coronary heart disease. And then the bottom line, I mean, this is the one we really want to focus in on because, again, this is not tough to do. I mean, how tough it is it to have a handful of nuts once a day? I've been doing this. I take nuts with me wherever I go. I have nuts with me when I'm traveling on the road. I did. My wife prepared me a lunch. I said, Dawn, I'm not going to have a chance to eat when I get in there. Pack me a lunch. And she put in a baggie full of nuts and dried fruit. And this morning, I have him where I'm staying, I have a big package of nuts. We go to Costco. We get the almonds, depending where you're living. Pecans, cashews, walnuts. It's walnuts and pecans. And we just have a big bowl of them. And in the morning, that's when I have my nuts before I really get serious about breakfast. I notice how 5 or more servings, 0.49%. Notice over a 50% reduction of non-fatal coronary heart disease. And notice how fatal coronary heart disease is reduced to 52%, cut almost in half, is what the American Cancer Society study shows. Now, let me give you a word of caution. Now, when you look at these studies and you see something that can have such a powerful effect, the tendency is to think that if one handful will do it, how about 4 handfuls a day? Now, no, don't go there. Just stick with what the studies show. It's like your doctor gives you a little bit of medication. You decide you're going to take 3 or 4. If a little bit is good, you're going to take 3 or 4 of them. No, that's not the way to do it. So eat your veggies, eat your fruit, get your legumes. This is the Eden diet. And don't forget the tomatoes in that. Tomatoes, vegetable or fruit? Fruit, okay, good. Good. And what else did we leave out? And nuts. Don't forget to eat your nuts. Okay? Any questions over that? Oh, this study didn't deal with whole grains. But stay with, whole grains. You know, just talk to Mike. I said, Mike, you're going to have to start a business here. Where are you, Mike? There you are. If you want excellent bread, I want a 15% cut now in all of this. Okay? Before I go any further. Okay? You've already talked about it. It's already out. Okay? Just put your order in. Every Friday, I'm getting my loaf of fresh home-baked bread. I had 2 pieces of toast before I came tonight. It was just delicious, and I've got to preach on it yet, so I better leave it. But anyway, whole grains, whole grain cereals, whole grain bread. Get used to the brown breads, and keep with the whole grains. That study didn't deal with it, but that's part of the Eden diet.